For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
It's state to state. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin. So kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Today on State of State, we are talking about Penn State's whiteout game. Check out Zach Seiko on the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast. Also, his contributions to Penn State Rivals. You got to check him out at Zach Seiko. He is the straw that stirs the drink, I think, especially in terms of this conversation, because there's so much, Zach, that has gone on social media regarding the outrage about what the whiteout game could be this year. And I've seen you pop up a number of times, so I was like, we got to get you on here to talk about this. Thank you all for liking, commenting, subscribing, rating us, turning on notifications, all that good stuff. Following us on social media on X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. So, Zach, let's start off with what we do know at this time. And you've been very active on social media, and we were talking about this before we started recording, is that you put out a series of posts talking about what the whiteout game could be this coming year. A lot of people were obviously hoping it was going to be Penn State versus Ohio State. And if that wasn't the case, Penn State versus Washington was certainly very attractive, all that sort of stuff. You put out a post on X, Twitter, whatever the hell we're calling it nowadays, saying that, quote, the Penn State-Ohio State game is now listed as a noon kickoff on Fox or a primetime kickoff on NBC. Good news for the whiteout for Ohio State? Not exactly. Fox is essentially waiting to see if Penn State will be ranked high enough before they select that game. Fox will gladly let NBC take the game if Penn State would happen to have 2-3 losses. Bottom line, I don't think Penn State intends to wait around for Fox to make that decision. Illinois is still most likely to be the whiteout at this time. Ohio State will be the stripeout or whatever. Regardless, everyone except Fox executives wants Penn State versus Ohio State at night, no matter what the game theme is. There's been so much conversation around this. What's the latest that you've heard at this point? And what's the latest that I guess you're inferring from what we've seen from Brett McMurphy and what the networks have put out at this point? Because Penn State fans are ticked off.
This is a fun topic to me. And I'm glad that it's at least, you know, I don't know if it's fun for everybody else because it's disappointing at the end of the day. This is very disappointing because for the past two seasons, I'm going off the way that Penn State has approached the whiteout. I've looked at, you know, hey, there's elements to what Penn State wants to do. Is the weather going to be good? And is this game at night? Those are the two things that they're looking for. And I was kind of skeptical originally, but when NBC and Fox, again, continue, it's a process of elimination. Which games are going into what time slots? You know, CBS seems to be kind of the most quiet of the trio. But then NBC and Fox kind of keep releasing like, hey, we're, you know, doing this game, get ready for big noon kickoff, you know, big Saturday night, that kind of thing. And I was a little skeptical because I was like, what if by chance Penn State happens to select Illinois as the whiteout? And then NBC released its preferred primetime list and Penn State and Ohio State, nowhere to be found. Penn State, Washington, nowhere to be found. It's like, okay, this is starting to make a little more sense here. Those games are in November. Penn State wants better weather. From what I know, what other people have known, that UCLA was the original game. Penn State, whether that was right when the Big Ten schedule was released for 2024 and the 2025 season, Penn State intended to have UCLA as the whiteout game. And you'll see other people like, hey, I know sources inside of Penn State. Yeah, they've said this. I can confirm. So that's kind of what we've all gathered here. Well, Fox has UCLA and they put it at noon. So it kind of, again, it doesn't check the two boxes. Is the weather going to be good? Because it can rain anytime. We can't predict the rain in September, October, November, but it won't be as cold and the days will be longer. So you can tailgate more, right? Penn State has changed the whiteout from a game where they are trying to maximize home field advantage to aesthetics. Is this going to be fun for the person in attendance? Like the event itself, it's not about the football game on the field. It's about the event of the whiteout. And then is it appealing for recruits? All right. You want to win that game. It's almost like an extension of homecoming. You kind of schedule an opponent that's a little lackluster. You just want to kind of get a win, you know, show off to the alumni and go on your way. Well, that's kind of the whiteout for recruits. So instead of homecoming for the alumni, it's a homecoming for future Penn State football players.
It's so disappointing what it's come to. And Justin and I spoke about this briefly another episode earlier this week. And it's just like, I remember in the mid 2000s when this was concocted by Guido D'Elia, that it was meant to be inspiring an organic fan movement. It was looking and seeing, hey, the team had been down for a handful of years in 2004. And it was trying to inspire something. It was like, man, we have one of the greatest venues in the country, but it sure doesn't feel like it. And then surely enough, in 2005, you get Kirk Herbstreit to say this is the best student section in the country. And everything just took off from there. And you had this setting, this atmosphere that is on your college football bucket list. If I was going to pick the college football games that I wanted to go to at any given time, a whiteout in Beaver Stadium would be at the very top of that list. And it's just so heartbreaking that it's changed from something that, just like you said, was meant to be home field advantage, was meant to be the surrounding the biggest game of the year, the biggest opponent of the year, the highest stakes, the highest drama, all that stuff. And the last few years, especially the game against Minnesota in 2022, I forget if that was late October, early November, but I mean, that you know, that occurred. And then the game against Iowa, while Iowa seemed like they could have been a stronger opponent on paper, obviously limped out of that game. Cade McNamara was not himself and was injured, all these things. So that game was not what Penn State fans hope. But to your point, it's just become this showcase as opposed to let's use this to our best advantage. And it's, I don't know. I can understand it from a television network perspective, and Fox has made it very, very clear. They get the best ratings when they put these games on at 12 p.m. Eastern, coming off the tail of Big Noon Kickoff. It's like we have this organic thing in college football that is so special and so unique, and it just doesn't matter. And even to hear you say, oh, it was going to be UCLA, that doesn't make me feel better than it potentially being Illinois. It's not that the opponents are the same. One is a new opponent coming into the conference, so I can see that. But like, It's really disappointing for me at the end of the day. And then I'm curious what the response has been in State College itself from longtime Nittany Lion fans. What have you heard?
Based on social media presence or just anybody else, obviously people aren't happy. Penn State doesn't want to choose Illinois. Again, the preference was UCLA. And I think there's a case to be had. Is November weather really that terrible early November? If this was one of the final two home games, even Washington's not that late. I understand maybe a week or the week after Thanksgiving, a week before or after Thanksgiving. Okay, days are shorter. It's not as fun. And you could get really cold and rainy. Okay, I get it. But that first weekend in November is, I anticipate what temperatures will be in the lower 50s, right? You're just kind of, you know, you just hope it doesn't rain, but it rained at the previous whiteout, right? On and off. So yeah, Iowa wasn't the best setting, but it was earlier in the season. So I feel like there can be a compromise here, but since Fox has it and Fox can take it, let's be honest, Penn State is correct to say that they would rather have the whiteout at night in prime time as opposed to noon. It looks better. It has a better feeling. There's, again, the tailgate, the celebration of it, for the anticipation of it for the entire day. So I think Penn State's doing the right thing here. Tom, I pointed this out. If Ohio State was in October or at the end of September, like Illinois, NBC had it, Penn State would not hesitate to make the game, that one, the whiteout. But since Ohio State's in November, Washington's in November, you don't know what the weather, you know, you don't know that the weather is going to be great. Okay. And then network. If you want to blame somebody, you can blame the networks. I mean, there's an element of stubbornness to both sides, right? But at the end of the day, you know, do you want to change the time back to 3:30 or noon? James Franklin's had a noon whiteout against Michigan. That was circa 2015. And then you saw when Joe Paterno was coaching, Penn State had Notre Dame, Alabama. Those games were at 3:30. So it's not like it's never been done. But the honest take is that, yes, the whiteout is better at night. And it's also really, it's also a lot better when you choose the right opponent.
Justin King can attest to that. And he did so earlier this week, that it's just better at night altogether. So it makes me think this, Zach. This sounds like getting dressed up for Halloween on the 4th of July. Well, wait, it almost, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it anymore, but it's like, well, if we're just doing it to do it, then why the hell are we doing it?
That's the thing. It's just the two competing elements. It's opponent or aesthetics, which one matters at the end of the day. And Penn State has shown at least the past two years, because Minnesota, they doubled up on Minnesota was homecoming. Right. And the whiteout. And then they went with Iowa and they pitched it as, oh, and you can do the same thing for Illinois. It's revenge for the 9 overtime game. It's revenge for the 2021 and the Iowa fans booing at Kinnick Stadium for injured players and stops and, you know, stopping the clock or whatever they claim. And then Minnesota in 20, there's an odd amount of revenge games for low class opponents in the Big Ten. That's not, that doesn't really sit too well with me when you go through it. Oh, they got to get revenge against Illinois. They got to get revenge against Iowa. They got to get revenge against Minnesota. I hope that list can stop.
We're lucky that they didn't pick Maryland at the end of the year as revenge for what year was that?
COVID season. The COVID season.
Was that 2014, the year they didn't shake hands?
Oh, okay, that one. And then the beatdown in 2020 when Penn State started out 0-5. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the thing that came out Wednesday this week is the college football playoff with the expanded 12 teams. The dates and times all came out, plus the network. So I think that's kind of interesting because Penn State is attempting to winterize Beaver Stadium to be prepared for a potential home playoff game. Which
it's very presumptuous of them.
I agree with you.
Anticipating a home field advantage in a playoff game.
I agree with you entirely. So it does beg the question. It's like, man, like, what if they do a whiteout twice?
I think, I mean, it's appropriate. I think it's non-negotiable. You do a whiteout in a playoff game because that's going to be the only, it's not like they advance and, you know, there's the divisional and the conference championship and those are home games in the NFL. You get, I think it's a little odd for me because you have home field advantage in the first round. And I know that's the way the college football playoff wanted it, but I think it would just be exciting for the game of college football to have a home, I mean, like the semifinals and the championship end up being, you know, the ones that are on neutral sites. I feel like that next round of games should still be at college football stadiums, but they're not exactly, not all of them are equipped to handle 100,000 like a Beaver Stadium.
The first round of the playoff, you only have two night games out of this. So you have Friday, December 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC/ESPN. Then you have Saturday, December 21st, noon Eastern on TNT. Saturday, December 21st, 4 p.m. Eastern, also on TNT. And then Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, ABC and ESPN. So you have to hope that you make it into one of those night games or that 4 p.m. game. You mentioned the Notre Dame game from years ago. And Justin remembered that of, okay, that began in the daytime and ended in the nighttime. So you can kind of fudge it a little bit. But then once you get past that first round into the playoff quarterfinals, then it's the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl. You get the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl for the playoff semifinals and then the national championship, which is going to be played in Atlanta. You have a very select window, and I think it's extremely presumptuous. The way you put it was perfect for Penn State to think they could have a home playoff game there in the first round. I'm of the mind of, I hope they make the 12-team playoff this coming year. I don't think this is going to be a bad Penn State football team, but the competition in that top 12, top 15 is going to make it very interesting there on the fringe of the playoff altogether. And it comes back to the point you were saying before about the way the schedule looks is now you're almost kind of like, I don't like to look ahead and do the predictions. I've done them certainly in the past, but you go at West Virginia, home versus Bowling Green versus Kent State, and then you face Illinois at home and UCLA at home. And it's like, seeing what we saw from West Virginia last year, I'm not terribly worried about Penn State going on the road and losing that game. I do think there's talent within that West Virginia team, but I think Penn State's opening up as a 12.5-point favorite, and I think that's maybe conservative. So I don't know. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, if you are Penn State and you don't get to 5-0, by the time you go to USC, something's really wrong. What do you think?
Penn State should be favored in all of those games. It all depends because you might show up to that week. Penn State's not fully healthy. USC conveniently is, something like that. Same thing with Wisconsin. Like, these are all tough opponents. That 5-week part of the schedule, and I know there's a bye week wedged in there. But all those games that are back to back to back to back, you know, Washington, and before that it's Ohio State, and before that it's Wisconsin, and then you have the bye week, and then before that it's Washington. Like this, and then you're still playing in conference opponents to finish the season. You know, sure, okay, Minnesota, Purdue, you know, again, those are kind of in the same, but it's only by brand perception. Okay, Illinois is just not, you know, a top tier brand when it comes to Big Ten football. Same with Maryland. But Minnesota, but they can quietly knock teams off. And if Penn State just has some unlucky breaks here and there through the way that they have to travel in the middle of the season, Ohio State, I think, is the clear-cut best team in the country. I don't like saying that, but I want to be, as you know, somewhat objective here as a Penn State talk show host. That's easily by far the toughest game, even though it's at home. And then right behind it is USC, because you've never traveled to Southern California like this in the middle of the season. I know you got to buy a week, but then you got to go on the road to Camp Randall, and then you got to play presumably the number one team in the country, and they will be there. They'll be undefeated by that time as well. And then you got to host Washington, right? And these are teams that you haven't played before. You haven't done the travel. It's not even about the opponent. It's about traveling in the middle of the season when you're coming off of a game before. Then you got to travel on a 6-hour flight. Then you got to go back home. Yeah, I know you have a bye week, but it was different when in the bowl game, you just prepare for it. You're focusing on that for a month. You don't have that. It's 1-0 every single week. And then you get your 1-0 mantra to USC. And that hasn't been done. So there's nothing. And these are young, some of them are still kids, right? 18, 19, 20, some of them are, veterans because of the COVID. You might have a couple of 22, 23 old Julian Flemings on the team, but still for the NFL, it's different when this is your job, but right. Even though there's more money injected into college football now, and there's NIL, these are still student athletes.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Year to year, has the whiteout been devalued in your mind?
As of late, it has, because originally it was, who's the toughest opponent? Auburn, again, was only because it was new. Auburn had not been that perennial national championship contender. It just happened to be that Big Ten SEC crossover, and Penn State was better than them on that Saturday. That was a close-ish game, even though Penn State held the lead for, majority of the game. That was still a 7-point game, and Bo Nix had a Hail Mary opportunity, and then Penn State trounced them down at Auburn. So that one, you didn't have it in 2020. It's been, Tom, this might go on for another 2 years. This might go on for 8 years running. The fact that Penn State hasn't played Ohio State in a whiteout game since 2018 is ludicrous to me, because that is the turning point of your season. Whether Penn State has one or two losses, say Penn State gets into you can resurrect your season here against the number one Ohio State team and at least put yourself back in the college football playoff conversation. 10-2 gets you in, and possibly upsetting the number one team in the country. That resume would get you in. But bottom line is the whiteout has lost its lost its prestige over the past few years, just because Penn State's opted to go with the night game. Have it more, again, as an event to recruit, as opposed to going all in and saying it's home field advantage. We don't care when the game is. We need to knock off our best opponent. And again, this all changed with the TV contract. Okay, that's when this all, COVID, and then the new TV contract. Fox is married to the big noon kickoff because they don't want to compete with ABC. And I get that. You got to make dollars at the end of the day. That's how that network stays afloat. That's fine. But that's it. That's what it's come to. And ESPN was willing to compromise with Penn State, right? They were able to kind of work that out because they were taking those games, a majority of those games. A majority of those games were on ESPN, ABC, and they liked the whiteout. Fox is like, you can put the whiteout on TV, but we're going to put you at noon, so figure it out.
And the stripe out just doesn't, like, it's close-ish, but again, for me, I'm like, it's during the daytime. It doesn't completely defeat the purpose, and I know I'm sounding very defeatist and all this, so like, well, why are we even doing it? I hope this tradition continues, because I think it's a really special thing, and the atmosphere is fantastic. I said earlier this week that it's what the fans make it. If you want this to be big, if you want a game to feel big, if you want to give the team home field advantage, then give it to them. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go buy a certain color t-shirt. Now, the element to this that I think is also, this is me putting on my tinfoil hat, and I think James Franklin has been very, very loud about this over the last few years in terms of, well, Penn State starting on the road in the Big Ten, that's bothered him. And then also even starting whole seasons on the road, that has bothered him, bothered the team. Didn't have that last year, had that against Purdue the year prior, will start on the road this year. I've always been of the mind that at least over the last 5 to 10 years, there's more value in ratings, and the television networks potentially look at it as Penn State is in more jeopardy to lose on the road. So that makes it for a more interesting game. And that's why those circumstances come up. And that's why certain networks pick up those games accordingly, not necessarily because West Virginia is expected to upset Penn State, but because it's like, well, there's that potential. There's that sliver of a chance. Mm-hmm. Then to really put on the tinfoil hat, Zach, is, well, if we set up Penn State for a night game against Ohio State and they actually happen to be undefeated and they have a home field advantage and Ohio State is the big cash cow that gets all the ratings and we set them up to get beat by Penn State, do we ruin our chance for better ratings as the season continues into what is now a 12-team playoff, bowl season, and the national championship itself? That's me going very far off in the left field, but I'd be shocked if that discussion hadn't been had.
I think it's in regards to Penn State a road game opening the season. I think that's a penance to Penn State being stubborn when it comes to Friday night games. And I know there's other schools in the conference, and I haven't looked at, okay, who's opening on the road, who's opening at home when it comes to conference play. In my honest opinion, opening conference play, it's a big deal to Penn State. So, okay, that's fine. Pat Kraft and then Sandy Barber and the voice of Penn State football has pointed this out, Steve Jones, because it's been such a long time running. But Penn State has made it very clear, and James Franklin has made it very clear, that Penn State will never host a Friday night game or host one of those Thursday night games in the middle of the week. They will not do it. Doesn't matter if it's week one. Doesn't matter if it's week 12, 13, you know, and I think there's two bye weeks in there now. So, right, you're getting 14 weeks of college football before you get to the conference championships and the expanded playoff, right, in bowl season. But that's where I think that comes from, where it's like, all right, if you won't compromise here, then we're really not going to compromise. We don't care what your schedule looks like, and we're going to let the algorithm spit out what it spits out. If it works and you're opening conference play on the road, you know, top. That's what that comes from. As far as I like, you know, I don't, when Fox does a presentation, at least as of late, and other people, you know, can somewhat agree with me here, Gus Johnson, he's so enthused for everybody else. And it's a Penn State touchdown, Penn State, you know, interception, Penn State's being, you know, being run back, Curtis Jacobs scoop and score. And it's like, Kalen King, I know it got called back, but there was just no excitement, no little enthusiasm. And then it's Maserati Marv, right? What is it about? Because I can see what you mean by that, saying like, oh, the networks are, you know, might be against Penn State here, might have other things at stake by selecting game times. I think at the end of the day, Fox just, there's no competition. ESPN, ABC are going to put Kentucky versus Alabama, A&M. I think Auburn actually opens up with Alabama and A&M because I don't know where I saw that today. But I see, yeah, Auburn versus Alabama, A&M is going to go at noon. And then whoever, you know, the open USC, LSU is going to go in prime time. And that's just what they're going to do. And Fox says, rather than competing with LSU versus Texas or LSU versus USC, we are going to own the 12 o'clock spot. And I get that. I understand it. So if you're looking for somebody to blame, it is Fox because they would rather not compete with ESPN ABC at 7 o'clock. They would rather just own the 12 o'clock hour.
I will say this in defense of Gus Johnson. 2016, he must have said the Wizard of Camelot for Trace McSorley about 1,000 times.
Yeah, what happened to that?
I don't know. I didn't love the call, but I was excited about the win. So I was like, cool. Yeah. There was that excitement. And frankly, 2016, 2017, the last time Penn State was truly relevant in the top five of college football.
Yeah. Up until Iowa, unseated them in 2021. There was that. And I know 2020 was a strange, that was
so
forget about that. But Penn State was top five. And then I think that, you know, that backwards momentum really ruined things. And then, you know, the 9 overtime Illinois game, and somehow they went from a team that was, hey, they were in the top five to finishing 7-5 and losing to Arkansas in the bowl game. So Penn State's a very momentum driven team, emotionally driven team, because if you look at 20, and that's a reflection of James Franklin. James Franklin's an emotional guy. You saw in 2016, 2-2 to start the season. They had some injuries, but then they picked up some momentum and it carried all the way up until the Rose Bowl when they, you know, lost that close game too. I think that gets forgotten that Penn State should have won that game as well. 2017, really good team. And then 20, but then you look at 2020, lose 5 in a row, then they win 4 in a row. 2021, they get upset, or they lose in Kinnick when they should have won. And then the season kind of falls off the rails. So Penn State has shown that they are very emotionally driven as a program, and that's fine. You know, so it has its highs, but it also has its lows. So there's a lot that can be said for the evidence is there for 2023, 2022, 2021, all the way back to 2016, when they finally turned the corner and became really relevant again.
To close, is there a way to fix the whiteout problem in your mind?
Somebody's got to come to a compromise. I don't know the finite details of the contract. I just know that the networks get together for a fantasy football draft, if you will, and then they select the weekends. If there's a clear-cut game that the network wants, they'll announce it, because here we are. They're either going to play at noon or they're going to play at 7:30, because Fox has the first selection for that weekend. Oregon and Michigan is that same weekend as Penn State or Ohio State. There's a chance that Michigan could have a couple of losses. There's a chance that Penn State could have a couple of losses. Oregon's a projected favorite to win. So if Michigan has one loss or no losses, you know, they prove me wrong and still remain and defend that title very well. And they get to Oregon. Fox is going to say, hey, yeah, this is an exciting conference matchup. If Penn State's undefeated or only has one loss and Ohio State's undefeated and the number one team in the country, then yeah, hey, we want that game. So That's where all of that lies. If you can find some middle ground and compromise, sure. Yeah. I think Penn State, again, has turned part of its Penn State's problem. I don't want to say it's a problem, but Penn State's responsible for this. They've used the whiteout as a recruiting tool as opposed to home field advantage, which is what we started the conversation with, to come full circle. And then it's the TV contract and Fox's stubbornness to say, yeah, we're taking this one. Again, ESPN and ABC seemed willing to work with Penn State and say, hey, let's figure this out. It feels like the executives with the TV networks are like, you know, hey, Penn State, tell us what game you want to make the whiteout, and let's see if we can make it work and find a way to maximize it rather than just say, yep, we're going with this time slot. Tough. So it's more of the TV network's fault. But again, Penn State, again, has sided. They've shown that Iowa, Minnesota, those are their choices, rather than saying, if this game's at 3:30, yeah, because and it's a little too late in the season, because I think Washington makes sense. It does. But from Penn State's point of view, that's too late in the season. It's in November. We don't know. I get what they're trying to do here. Again, if Ohio State was in September or early October, NBC was carrying it, since they are the primetime network, it would be a no-brainer, and Penn State would have announced Ohio State as the whiteout months ago. But because here we are, the debate's up in the air, because Fox is like, we might put this game at noon, and the other ones are a little too late in the season. Penn State's like, well, what do we do? We want this to be an exciting experience for everybody, especially the recruits.
If Penn State somehow makes it to Ohio State undefeated and falls to Ohio State, that Washington game is still very, very important in the grand scheme of things. And that
no breaks. There's no breaks in the schedule.
And especially if the college football playoff is in striking distance, if you're, what would that be, 7-1, I think, at that point, you have a real chance. And that's a pivotal, pivotal game that you get at home. Hell, I mean, I'd be cool. That's the other thing I continue to say is like, this is in the power of the fans. Make it what you want it to be. And I hope that if you do run into a circumstance where it's Ohio State and Washington back-to-back and the records are good enough to the point that both of them have meaning in regards to postseason play, then make both of those atmospheres raucous.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.